rocket swamp.
That's right. Little disclosure, I guess is the word. We ended up recording a podcast, and we never really have a set format. We were talking about some of the highlights of the news that happened this week, but we actually got off on a tangent.
Took a side road, I guess, back alley.
Yeah, and it ended up being pretty interesting and a good conversation.
But it also made the podcast like 2 hours long.
So we're going to split it up. So this one, the first one, the one you're listening to now, will end kind of abruptly, but it leads into the next one.
Which we'll be posting up probably early next week, which would be, the week of the 20th, I guess. But also follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Keep up to date when podcasts are uploaded. And like I said, we'll probably be putting some more interactive stuff up, like, you know, what do you think about the news of this and whatnot, just to get y'all's opinion on stuff. And maybe y'all can come up with a good, you know, topic for debate for us to talk about. So, yeah, enjoy.
Thank you.
Yeah, drink that Gatorade.
No, it's good. That was funny.
Yeah. Cool Blue.
Yeah. You gotta stay hydrated, man.
Electrolytes.
Electrolytes, especially when you got allergies and sinus problems.
Bringing that mess in my house.
Yeah, my bad. Anyway, so LSU's the champs. We all know that now.
Yeah.
But it was funny the day afterwards. Everything started happening. I told Keith, I said, dang, man, we picked the wrong day. He's like, yeah, we should have done it today because there's all the news broke on Tuesday.
Every bit of it. Lots of news.
Lots.
Crazy amount of news.
Yeah, we're just going to talk.
Every time I turned around, I was having to send a text message to somebody. I'm like, oh, crap, check out what's happening here.
Yeah. I just saw something else we were supposed to talk about and we forgot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So we'll just start it off with that, before I forget it.
Before you forget it.
Penn State in trouble again for some hazing going on. Welcome to prison, baby.
Pin them. guy at work said, pin them down state.
Yeah.
Or another one said they thought they were
pin them down
in state. The state pen.
Well, that's what it is. It is.
State of Penn State. Yeah.
Welcome to the penitentiary.
Yeah.
You know, at first I just thought it was like some small hazing, like carrying pads. And that's fine with me, because we did that in high school. I ain't got no problem with that. I paid my lumps. You did.
There's a thin
line there, I guess.
Yeah, there's a paper-thin line. And yeah. I've actually got this topic wrote down. I'm going to be doing a little cigar talk podcast here in the near future once my humidor is done seasoning. I can actually put some cigars in it. But this is one of the topics I want to talk about. Not Penn State, but just hazing in general. But there's definitely a line there, and they've crossed it twice now. Huh?
You gonna have a robe?
I do have a robe, actually.
You gonna wear it?
I don't know if I'll wear it. That might be a little weird. I'll just have an open robe and smoking a cigar, talking about
smoking
my random
jacket
thoughts.
Or something?
Yeah. No, I probably won't do that. But anyway, here's what makes me the most mad about this whole
Rocky Swamp's breaking up. Breaking news.
No, not breaking up. This is that podcast probably won't have a whole lot to do with sports at all. It's just going to be more others.
You're ranting that you like to do?
Yeah, my ranting.
Anyway, let's get back on subject. Yeah, Penn State's crossed the line twice. And this.
They should have got the death penalty the last time.
Shouldn't have, though?
Yeah, because there was a big.
Yeah, well, I understand.
Huge cover up there. And I know everybody goes, well, what about the kids? Those kids have been fine. They would have went somewhere else.
I understand.
Or to play.
Yeah.
I mean.
But now I see what you're saying. James Franklin, man, I wouldn't have, I don't know. Maybe he didn't know what was going on.
Well, in the lawsuit, okay, let's start.
He's mentioned in the lawsuit,
isn't he? Let's start from the beginning. There is a former player at Penn State who brought to light.
He's now playing at Cal.
He's now playing at Cal.
Okay, just want to get that out there.
Yeah, he transferred out.
Right.
Saying that there was hazing incidents between the upperclassmen and the underclassmen.
Right.
And it includes simulated humping, which, you know, whatever. What would be considered teabagging. genitals on the face.
Okay, go ahead.
And then also genitals on the buttocks with stroking, and let's just say it's really, really out there.
Okay, can I say something?
Yes.
And I really don't know how to talk about this right now because we're grown ups now, right?
Yeah.
We're men.
Yeah.
But you remember when we were like 15 and 16 and all that?
You did stupid.
We were really dumb.
Let's call it, for lack of better terms, let's call it grab assing.
Some of that don't sound so unfamiliar. I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just saying.
The simulated humping, for sure.
I mean, we were pretty dumb.
Yeah.
And I mean, I could sit here and throw names out all day, but I ain't gonna do that.
But we can say without a doubt nobody ever put their meat on some dude's butt.
God.
I'm just saying that. throwing that out there. Nobody did that.
Rocky Swamp.
Yes.
You'll get your meat.
Yes. We didn't do that.
It could be a commercial for Subway. If you're listening.
Yeah. But here's the thing that gets me.
And we're not laughing at that. We're just laughing at what we just said.
It was a funny joke.
Yeah. And if you don't like it, you don't like it. It's just our sense of humor. Yeah. Boom, so on.
But the biggest issue is that he says...
Excuse me, I got tough.
He says that he went to the coaching staff.
Well, that's what he says.
And James Franklin forced him out, and that's basically forced him to transfer to Cal. Now, if that's the case...
If that's the case, that's bad. If that's the case.
Well, putting your meat on some dude's butt is pretty bad, and I don't think anybody should be subjected to that type of stuff.
No, I don't either. Like I said, when I first...
It shows a lack of discipline and a lack of control by the coaching staff.
You know, when I first saw it, I just read the headline. I was like, oh, crap, you know, not again, not this hazing crap. But, at first you're like, you know, I thought it was just, like I said, carrying helmets, carrying pads, doing laundry.
Yeah.
You know, earning your spot.
Normal stuff. I don't consider that hazing. No. I just consider that...
Paying your dues, man.
Yeah, exactly.
But that takes a little too far.
Yeah, that's sexual assault.
That's
way past any kind of bullying or hazing.
Yeah,
that's sexual assault. And if the coaching staff knew it...
Then they should have handled it.
Yeah, they should have handled it.
Yeah.
And also, but if they knew it and they didn't do anything about it, then they should never be allowed to coach ever again. How are you gonna be able to go to somebody's home and tell their parents, oh, they're in good hands.
Yeah. Has James Franklin made a statement? Because I couldn't find one.
I don't think I've seen him.
So,
say
I mean,
anything.
There's always...
The universities made a statement saying that they were investigating.
That's what they're going to say, and they should. But, and I'm not discrediting the kid. Don't take me wrong. But I am interested to see what Franklin has to say. Because there's always three sides to the story. There's your side, my side, and then there's always the middle, which is usually the truth. Because I'm going to lean more my way. You're going to lean more your way. And with all possibility, we could both be telling the truth, but we'll find out.
But I mean,
I know what you're
saying. Makes up a story like that?
Man, I don't know. Dude.
You know, that's crazy to me. But you're like right. I said, here's the thing that made me the most mad about this entire story. That to me is the biggest story that's going on right now in sports. It's not even on the front page of ESPN.com, and it's not even on the front page of the college football part of ESPN.com.
Right.
You know, that should be all over the news right now.
I agree, but...
Because there's actually people that's being harmed mentally and possibly physically, and that should be huge news.
It should be.
I mean...
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
I do.
We put these people on TV that just said something.
Right.
And throw them through the ringer. This is actually physically happening. You know, we at least got to get to the bottom of it.
I agree wholeheartedly. And I think there'll be more said about it.
He needs other players to come forward to corroborate
his story.
Surely
there will be somebody. And if nobody else does come forward, then it could just be swept under the rug.
Yeah, that's true.
Because who's to say that it's not just a disgruntled player who didn't get what he wanted? So, I don't know. But I'm sure they'll find out. But I think that leads us into the next topic that we're going to talk about. Talking about how it's not even on the front page of ESPN's college football thing. And a lot of that has to do with not even a college football player, but a former college football player, an OBJ, and his troubles that he's facing now for simple battery, as the Louisiana police have put out a warrant for his arrest. Of course, it's I mean, we're talking about it today. You've probably kept up with it, but, you know, you watch there is actual video of that.
I'll just go ahead and say I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was a funny video. It was hilarious.
I mean, it is. It is funny. I can see both sides. I can see why they would say something. But my point is they shouldn't have waited. If the guy had a problem with it, he should have arrested him there and on the spot.
That is the main issue with this whole thing.
Don't wait 2 days afterwards.
If you feel like you got assaulted, I know he's a security guard. I thought he was a cop at first. Right. That's what the first reports that I saw was. But he was a security guard. And so if he felt he should have went and said something and got you know, hey, this man put his hands on me. I want something done about it.
You think maybe he's doing it now because he think maybe he'll get some money?
That's always when it comes to something that happens with a celebrity, the first thing that crosses my mind is this a money grab?
And it's very possible that it is. I don't think it was. Do you have the right to just touch somebody that doesn't want to be touched? No, you don't. However, battery, I know under the definition and legal terms that it's what it is, but come on, man.
Yeah, it's.
Gosh almighty.
I get it. You're not supposed to invade people's personal bubble. And he, honestly, I'm not giving him a pat. He shouldn't have done it.
He shouldn't have done
it. But let's not be ticky-tacky.
It's not like he slapped the guy in the face or hit him in the mouth. To me, the bigger issue.
Now, if he would have put his meat on his butt, then yeah.
Yeah, we got problems, bro. Put your meat on. Right back to Penn State. Y'all suck.
But here's the thing. I thought it was absolutely outrageous that they were threatening to arrest the LSU players for smoking cigars after the game. In the locker room. That's why he was in there.
Yeah.
Is because he was in the way he was acting towards the players in the video, it seemed like he was being a class A prick to them.
It did.
And I get it. The Superdome is a smoke-free facility. But come on, man. You got to give leeway. It's like the Tennessee-Alabama game.
Yeah.
Nobody says anything when Alabama lights up the cigar after they beat us. It's a tradition. And for that one instance,
that's going to have to stop
now. They turn the other cheek.
That's going to have to stop now. Give me 21 to buy tobacco.
Well, yeah, that's true. So, I mean, but it's not just the students that do it.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
But yeah.
To me, the bigger issue with OBJ is the fact that he's handing out cash to the players on the field. Now, I know he was allowed to buy them beat headphones by Jay because he is a former player, not considered a booster.
Okay.
He's a lump. He is allowed to do that. Okay?
But he does give money to the program, so why is that not considered a booster?
I don't know. Because he's an alum.
So he's just.
But I guess all alums are boosters, but I guess because he's an athlete.
Yeah.
Maybe you got to sign up to be like a booster.
I don't get it.
But anyway, the fact that he's handing money out, cash money, now we're talking about NCAA violations, right? Mm-hmm. So it could be the fact that he gets his university in more trouble than he really intended. But I don't know. I'm interested to see what they do about it
here,
because that's a big deal.
Yeah, and that's the first time when I saw the video, I was like, how is that not a violation? Why is he doing that? And I think it's two answers. I think one, it's just because he wants people talking about him. He wants to be in the news. He didn't have a good year in Cleveland. And his university just won a national championship. So he, in his selfishness, wants to pull the attention away from the team and what they did to, hey, he's handing out cash. But I also think that it's not a political statement, but a statement saying, hey, these guys deserve to get paid. And they're gonna get paid.
Really, we're going back to that.
Yeah, but I think that's what he's saying. Those coaches just got a bonus for winning that game.
Oh, God,
and the players didn't get nothing out of it. Other than they're gonna get a ring. and they get to live on forever as a national champion.
And there's some of them that's going to make some money, but there's a big majority of them who've busted their hind end 4 or 5 years, and they're never going to see a payday like Joe Burrow's going to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Or, yeah.
But I think that's part
that could be a bigger story than the slap in the butt of a security guard. And plus, the guy is in the locker room. The locker room is a sacred place. And I understand
I don't like the fact that people are allowed to take cameras in the locker room.
Anymore. No, you shouldn't. I've never liked the fact that female reporters can go in the locker room. And that's not me being sexist. It's just, you know, you're going to see, you know, they're going to see some stuff. Because, I mean,
that's locker room.
Yeah, you shouldn't take cameras in there.
Yeah.
But then there's, they got to be accessible. The players have to be accessible. But then you fine them if they don't go talk to the media. So just stay out of the locker room and then let them go talk.
Yeah, let them go talk. Stay out of the locker room.
But yeah, stay out of the locker room.
And that's my thing too. I love being able to see stuff behind the scenes. I love being able to hear halftime speeches and pregame speeches and stuff like that. But at the same time, I don't, because something might get said in that either is bulletin board material for the other team or a team in the future. You know, if Pruitt was like, yeah, we just beat such and such, and now the next team that we're playing, they're going to get it too.
Yeah.
And then it comes out, so the other team, you know, whatever. Or, you know, not just that, just...
Well, there's things you can say as a team, as a group of guys that go to battle every day. There's things that you can say that if the general public was to hear or the people was to hear it, they wouldn't understand what you were saying.
Yeah.
To where I, like, say, you know, with me and you, you know, there's stuff you and I've talked about. Somebody that don't know you or know myself, they think, man, they're terrible people. But I know where you're coming from. You know, as a football team, the coach is going to say stuff, and Joe Blow Public's going to be like, oh, my God, I can't believe he said that. But he knows how to get his team inspired. So, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just like, you know.
Certain things that you just can't be privy to.
Thing is, people hold these players and coaches to a high standard.
Right.
And they get upset when they hear something that happens in the locker room, like they get access to the locker room, and then say you hear, like on the All or Nothing with the Panthers, you hear Ron Rivera in there cussing them like dogs. Well, then now somebody that doesn't understand sports is going to look at that and go, God, he's absolutely terrible. Let's look at how he's talking to those people. Or, you know, my daughter was watching that. And
yeah, you know, I never got to play in a collegiate level.
No.
Obviously. But you wrestled in high school. I played ball. We did things. There's a different person there's a different person on the wrestling mat than there is in the classroom or in public.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a different person on the football field than there is in the classroom or in public. You're a different person. That's a different side of you. And people can't judge you. It's kind of like Bill Romanowski. He was a straight freaking jerk. I don't even want to cuss, but you know what on the field, man. Listens to Tiny Dancer and Elton John off the field. Great dude. Nice guy. Does stuff for charity.
But he'll spit in your face.
Yeah,
on the field.
But his whole – and am I taking up for him? No, but that's my point. His mentality completely shifts when he's on the field. That's what happens. You know, we've went way off, but, you know, it's again, there has to be a sacred place. Because, you know, you can't talk to a bunch of 18 to 22-year-old men is what they are technically.
Yeah, they're not kids. I don't like when they call them
kids. No, you can't talk to a bunch of 18 to 22-year-old young men like you would 5 and 6-year-old peewee football players.
No, yeah. I'm not
saying,
We're on a
different level here, bud. We're on a different level.
That's what I'm saying.
So don't get offended. But anyway, we digress. Yeah. OBJ, I don't know. I mean, he's made a lot of headlines. The watch thing.
Which I don't see the big deal.
I don't either. I don't know.
His Joker cleats.
Oh, yeah. I like them, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, the NFL's got a rule that you have to wear.
On to what is now the biggest sports news going on right now. Let's save that one. Let's go to one that affects us personally. Luke Kuechly, retired. 8 seasons. Breaks my heart, but I think in his press conference or whatever that was, it was
announcement video.
Yeah, and then the Panthers were the ones that aired it. He said the desire to play the game is still there, but he doesn't think it's the right choice. He's had problems with concussions.
Oh yeah.
And it's become more apparent now. Players are a lot more aware of it, especially after the whole Junior Seau thing. So I think that's where it comes from. And I honestly, in my heart, believe that he gave Carolina a heads up. I don't think it caught them off guard. Because they signed Shaq real quick.
Yeah.
Remember? And it was like a day they signed him. So I think they knew it was coming. They were just waiting until everything blew over. So I don't think – I hate it. Yeah, I do. But I don't think he's going to go play somewhere else or – go do this, no, or go do that. I think the dude's going fishing, man, because he's a big fisherman. So,
I'll tell you one thing.
If you can't play the game you want, like you want to play it, you don't need to play it.
Yeah,
because he's going to get hurt worse.
The way he worded it is definitely because he's worried about his head.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I want to play, but I don't think it's the right choice.
And he's a freaking genius, by the way.
Yeah,
he's smart.
So, he wears that collar on his neck after he got that second bad concussion that kept him out for a while, and I'm not 100% exactly sure what the collar does. I don't know if it prevents concussions or if it collects data.
I don't know how the collar would prevent concussions.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it helps blood flow or
– It could.
I don't know exactly what it is.
The jarring of the brain.
But he wears that, so surely it collects some sort of data. Yeah, I'm wondering if he's getting this data and it's kind of trending in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And he's made that decision because – He sees that it's deteriorating, and you know, any Carolina fan that's pissed about it, you need to.
Well, that kind of goes back to the way we talked about, episode 3, 2, maybe 4, when Andrew Luck retired.
Yeah.
So Andrew Luck may have set a trend. Get out while you can still live a normal life.
Get out before you blow your brains out at the age of 53 because your brain is mush. And now you're starting to hear voices, and you're not being you don't know what's going on.
Right.
A perfect example. I read a book recently about Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
You know how paranoid he was.
Yeah.
And just the crazy decisions that he had made. And yes, some of it had to do with some of the drugs he was taking and stuff.
Yeah.
But they said that when they cut into his brain, it was one of the worst cases of CTE they'd ever seen. And he only played pro football for 4 years maybe.
Probably.
Max?
Yeah.
It might not even been 4 years.
Yeah.
So it's not like he did all that.
I mean, we're not making excuses for Aaron Hernandez now.
No. But I'm just saying.
But yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, he wasn't there mentally.
Yeah. For one, it's your.
Same thing with Antonio Brown right now. I guarantee you if they was able to get into his brain right now that he would show signs of CTE.
Yeah.
He's gone crazy. He was never like that. Until he took that hit.
But then you look, and you see guys like Ditka. He ain't acting all crazy. LT's not too crazy.
And I don't know if there's...
Butkus didn't go crazy.
I don't know if there's a Jeanette, but you got to also think, the people that they played with and stuff wasn't as big and fast and strong as those kids.
Yeah.
I think there wasn't
a Derrick Henry running the ball.
Yeah, the hits are more violent now than they were back then. I don't care what anybody says.
No, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
You're exactly
right. I think that's what it is.
I brought that up for argument's sake because that's what a lot of people was going to say.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't do it back then. They were tougher. They were men back in the day.
No, that's not
I'm not saying they wasn't men.
But they didn't have a 6'4", 250-pound running back running.
They didn't have a defensive end running the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's why I think there's people getting hurt too. I think we're reaching the
threshold here.
The threshold of what human bodies can do.
I don't blame Luke.
No, I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely happy for him. Any Carolina fan that's not happy for him,
then you don't
really care. Yeah. And
I don't know why he don't coach.
That was my other point. If Matt Rhule didn't go to him immediately afterwards and say, "Hey, you want to be my linebacker coach?"
Yeah, and it's possible. We just ain't heard that.
But yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's the first thing I'd have done, and I would have said, you know what, if you don't want it right now,
yeah,
I will hold that spot for you.
Take you a break.
If you're not ready to just jump right into coaching, but when you're ready, you got a spot on my staff.
I agree.
Now.
Yeah. So
it keeps you in Carolina, the place that you love.
Yeah.
And you get to enjoy the game just in a different aspect. And who better to coach linebackers than Luke Kuechly?
I agree.
And anybody that comes in to play for the Panthers that plays linebacker, I mean, why would you not be stoked?
So, Matt Rhule, how you feel? We'll segue into that there. How you feel about Matt Rhule? I mean, if the press conference award, he won that. He won the press conference.
Yeah. Like I said,
it's yet to be seen.
How often do you see college coaches succeed. Jump to the NFL and succeed? Yeah. There's not a whole lot of them.
Pete Carroll's the last one I can remember.
Pete Carroll, you know, Jimmy Johnson, obviously. Barry Switzer, but he still had kind of Jimmy Johnson's team that he had built. But you don't see it often.
Well, there's not a lot of Jimmy Johnsons in the world.
No.
Let's just be honest.
There's not a – there's.
Jimmy Johnson was the first black coach into the University of Miami history. And if you think I'm lying, watch the 30 for 30 on the U, and Michael Irvin is the one that states that.
Yeah.
But you're right. Now, the thing that worries me is Matt Rhule comes from the Big 12. The Big 12 is notorious for not having defense. Yet he brought his defensive coordinator with him.
But their defense at Temple
was amazing.
Was okay. It was better.
Yeah.
But that's also, what, American Athletic Conference?
Yeah. Not putting anybody down, just saying. I don't know. And now we got Joe Brady, offensive coordinator, 30 years old. I can't imagine being him.
Need a breath of fresh air. I think that was part of our problem on offense is you got North Turner calling plays.
So what are the chances? This is just me being stupid. But
no, what are I've seen articles about what you're getting ready to say.
What are the chances we can trade Cam Newton to Cincinnati?
Cincinnati.
Give up our first round draft pick and second and third. And go get Joe Burrow. Slim to none, I think.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati's dead set on getting him.
Well, he's Ohio boy.
Yeah, and he's good, and they need a quarterback.
Yeah.
I saw some scenarios where they were like saying we'd have to switch our first round pick this year, so they get seven, we get one. We have to give them this year's second round.
Next year's first,
and the year after that's first. And I think that's too much.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, there's going to be some decent quarterbacks sitting at number seven still. You know, Miami might take Tua, which is before.
Would you want Tua though?
That's my thing.
I love the guy. I think he's a good guy, but.
I think he made the right decision coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Because he needs to get his money.
Yes.
But for me, if I'm a GM, I would have liked to see you go back to school.
To prove that your hip's
okay. To see that your hip's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
not sold on Justin Herbert.
No. I would pick Eason and possibly Fromm over Herbert. Fromm's got accuracy.
Eason didn't look good at Washington this year, though.
Yeah, but he looked good that
Chris
year.
Chris Peterson retired. Where the crap did that come from? Anyway, we're getting way off subject. We just said this is just an episode of talking. But I don't know, man. He was rusty, I guess, in a sense. I don't know.
I don't know. Honestly, and I hate to say this, but I think without getting Burrow, I think Fromm would be the next best choice. But I don't think I would spend a first-round draft pick on him.
He's not a first-round quarterback.
No, but.
Sorry, but he's not.
I mean, if he slipped to second, third, maybe I would take a chance on him. But he really didn't have any help at the wide receiver position.
We got Will Grier.
Yeah.
He was really nice when we met him.
Yeah, he was super nice when we met him. But, you know, so is a lot of people. They have to be nice.
We're paying your bills, buddy.
Yeah, they're not good enough to have that ego.
But, I don't know, man. It's interesting. Like I say, I think we're going to do a special where we actually we're going to sit here and have the draft on. And
we'll talk about
first
the draft.
Round anyway.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. But let's see. Let's digress here. I got notes. Let's see. Talking about Joe Brady. And then what's the defensive coordinator at LSU? What was his name?
Dave Aranda.
Took the Baylor job.
Yes.
So where's Coach O and LSU going to be next year? Losing everybody. Lost their offensive coordinator. Well, co-offensive passing coordinator.
He's the passing coordinator. Whatever. He's the reason why that offense was so good.
I agree.
I mean, because Burrow was doo-doo last year. That offense was doo-doo last year.
Yeah, I agree.
And then he comes in, and it's
– changes the game.
Completely different.
So, how do you think LSU's going to rebound?
I guess we'll just have to see who they get to fill those spots.
Coach O's facing the same thing Saban does every year.
Which the passing game coordinator, I mean, I don't know who they – I mean, that's just going to have to be another young cat.
Yeah.
But defensive coordinator, I don't know who he's going to target or anything like that. But you're right. he literally has one good year, and now all of a sudden he's going to have to do what Alabama does every year. Normally, you have to see a couple of years of, you know, success, but they were the hot commodity. That's one of the greatest football teams to ever play, probably.
Yeah,
at least on offense.
Speaking of coaching changes, there's been a lot of coaching changes this year in college football. Tennessee and Florida's not in the top this year, so that's good. We can be unbiased here. Who do you think of teams that hired coaches this year? Who do you think, or this offseason, whatever you want to call it, who do you think made the best decision? Would it be Ole Miss with Lane? Mississippi State with
they got Mike Leach.
They got Mike Leach.
You had Mike Norvell at Florida State.
Yep. Left Memphis.
Yeah,
that's a big hire. Who do you think made the best decision there? Which one are you expecting to perform first, I guess, or most?
I'm going to say I think Mike Norvell is going to have a winning season before the other two teams do.
It's because he's in the ACC.
Because he's in the ACC and because he's in Florida. It's, even if you get, you know, even if you get the kids that – Miami and Florida picked over, you're still going to get good athletes.
I agree.
And he's proven, I know it's Memphis, whatever, but he's a good coach. He really is. He's a good coach. Lane, I think, possibly could have the best long-term success, but he's going to have to flip that roster and do it in a hurry.
The West is flipping. I mean, they've been stacked for years, but my goodness. You got Saban. You got Ed Orgeron defending national championship.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Tiger down there. They're going to win it all down there next year. Anyway, you got him. You got Lane now at Ole Miss, Mike Leach at Mississippi State.
Gus Malzahn.
Gus Malzahn, yeah. It's in the East. We didn't even mention Missouri and that guy
from Eli Drinks.
Is that whatever? I can't say. I'm not even going to try.
From App State.
That guy.
Arkansas.
Yeah.
Who was it they hired? Sam Pittman, offensive line coach from Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Texas A&M. Don't.
You know what?
Don't sleep on Texas A&M, man.
Yeah, with Jimbo. They I mean, the West. Jimbo. The West does have good coaches, but the East does too.
We do too. Yeah, I ain't going to say we don't. I mean, Dan Mullen, Jeremy Pruitt's proven to be a good coach. I think he's
decent. He's just having to work through the roster issues. Well,
it's a building process.
Speaking of which, Tennessee.
Oh, God. It always gets back to Tennessee.
No, I'm just saying you
can't have one episode.
It's 2020, and you now live in a world where Tennessee has the second longest active winning streak in the nation. Thank you, sir.
You know what I thought was sad? When I looked at the recruiting classes thus far this coming year, Tennessee had like, where'd y'all finish? Like, or are y'all now like 11, 12, something like that.
When?
But right now, as
and
of right
the,
now.
And the, yeah, it was like fifth. Like, yeah, it depends on which.
My point is this.
Probably around 13, 14.
Well, this is my point. You had Alabama, LSU, Texas A&M, Florida, and this is in no order. This is just me talking. Georgia, somebody else. I can't remember. Anyway, Tennessee is like 13th in the nation or so, or something like that right now. We already looked that up. This is just, again, off the cuff, just talking. That puts you like 6th or 7th in the conference.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if not 8th.
Yeah.
That would put you number 1 in the Pac-12, number 2 in the ACC.
Number 1 in I think it was tied for first in the Big 12.
Yeah, because
it's like second in the Big 10. Either way, we would have been top 3 in every conference.
So don't come at me with the SEC is not the best conference in the nation.
And that's where everybody wants to play.
Thank you very much. All right. Now, let's see. What else do we have to talk about? I'm saving that one.
Speaking of SEC being the best, did you see the little tweet that Kirk Herbstreit put out?
No.
He was jokingly, it was sarcasm, but said, oh, look at it. The SEC's at it again. They won the national championship and went 9-2 in their bowl games, but I'm sure it was probably had something to do with the media and the commentators and stuff building them up like that. You know, it's proven on the field.
It is, every time.
Like, you can say there's bias. There's a reason for the bias.
Yeah. I mean, when you're
if we wasn't a good conference,
we wouldn't be in there.
We wouldn't be 9-2, and we wouldn't have won, what is it, like 13 of the last 20-something national championships.
Exactly.
We won like 6 or 7 in a row.
Yeah.
And this is coming from somebody that actually isn't like a SEC homer kind of guy. I wish all the teams would lose. I don't want my rivals to do
well. No, I want Florida to win it all.
Yeah.
You want Tennessee to win it all.
Yeah.
Like I said on the thing, I was not pulling for LSU. They are one of our bitter rivals.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want LSU to win, but I sure did. I wanted Clemson to lose. How's that sound?
Yeah, there you go.
You know what I'm saying? But speaking of coaches, the NFL's had a lot of changes. We was talking about Matt Rhule. Mike McCarthy's at Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Mike McCarthy, when he's at Green Bay there, he gave up the play calling for, I don't know, 2 weeks or so, 3 weeks. Then he took it back, said he's never going to give it up again. Goes to Dallas.
Never going to give you up.
Yeah. Decided to let Kellen Moore keep calling plays. Now, everybody's gone except Kellen Moore. He survived through all the firing and everything with Jason Garrett. Do you think that was Mike McCarthy's decision, or do you think it had something to do with Jerry?
I think it's Mike McCarthy's decision.
Really?
Yeah, I think there's something about Kellen Moore that he likes and he feels comfortable with. And maybe it's one of those things where
– Kellen Moore's not one of his guys.
But, yes, but maybe his interview, what he wants – but here's also the thing, okay? Jeremy Pruitt's first year at Tennessee, he called the plays. But Kevin Scherer was the defensive coordinator. But Pruitt called the plays. I'm wondering if he's just got the title of offensive coordinator where he's not necessarily calling plays.
No, Mike McCarthy said he's going to call plays.
He said he's
going to call plays.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If Jerry Jones is the one that's dictating that, then he hasn't learned his lesson one bit.
Was he ever going to learn his lesson?
No.
Oh, okay.
But you just got a home run hire with Mike McCarthy, and then you're immediately going to dictate what he does with his staff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't add up to me, but I'm not going to put anything past Jerry.
No, I wouldn't.
Because he is the reason why that they have underperformed, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's got his fingerprints on everything, and he shouldn't.
I agree wholeheartedly. Speaking of the NFL, who's going to win this weekend?
I'm going to go with Chiefs, just because I think. Now, if Tennessee comes out and puts up 24 points, I don't know if they come back. But the Titans are built to beat a team like the Chiefs. Like I said, when they beat the Ravens,
been doing it up. Yeah.
Keep the high powered offense on the sideline, and you can beat them.
Yep.
But I think the Chiefs prevail, and I think the 49ers win over the Packers.
Yeah.
And that sets up a pretty exciting Super Bowl, I think. Because San Francisco's defense is nasty. Nick Bosa's crazy. He's a rookie and doing all that. And then, of course, you got Richard Sherman, which I'm not a huge Richard Sherman fan, but he is good. But the main thing is I like George Kittle, and I think it'd be cool to see George Kittle win a Super Bowl. He's not necessarily like the throwback tight end, but – you can tell that he enjoys playing the game.
Yeah.
And it's fun to him, and he doesn't take himself too serious. Like, I don't know if you saw the video where he pancake blocks a guy on the goal line, and he gets flipped over. He's laughing the entire time, like, you know, I just pancake blocked this dude. And he's like, I don't know if the dude was talking trash to him and he was just laughing about it or whatnot, but he's just got this huge smile on his face right in the middle of a play. You know?
You don't have a lot of tight ends. I mean, not saying they don't, but this day and age, you don't have a lot of tight ends that take pride in blocking like they used to.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
And that is throwback.
But I also like the way Patrick Mahomes plays the game. He plays it like it is a game. I think
he's exciting to watch.
I think he purposely tries to come up, you know, like he's playing a game of horse, like I'm a no-look pass over here. You know, it's just
– yeah.
I don't know if he's trying to, if he's just being flashy or if he just wants to see if he can get away with it or whatnot, but it's exciting and almost innovative.
Yeah. I agree.
In a way, like, let me put the ball in my other hand and throw it, you know?
Yeah, I think the safe fix is San Francisco and Kansas City, and I think Kansas City can, they can try to keep the ball out of Kansas City's hands, but I think Kansas City's good enough to win. They do have the ball, they're going to score.
Here's the biggest thing. You know? The Chiefs' defense is always suspect.
It is.
Can they stop the run?
I don't know.
Nobody has so far in the playoffs.
Or are they going to sell out, try to stop the run, and Ryan Tannehill's going to burn them?
Whatever it is, you got
to
get.
Because, I mean, honestly, they don't have right now. Tennessee does not have to set up the running game to run the play action. It's already set up.
Oh, yeah.
From the past two games.
Yeah, first play.
Yeah, it's already set up. So, but, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Now, the headline right now for all of sports is the Houston Astros and the Major League Baseball cheating sign-stealing scandal. And
like it's never happened before.
Well, I mean, let me get your take on it, then I'll give you my take. How do you feel about it?
Well,
there's been a lot of people lose their jobs.
Yes, and in that aspect, they're cheating.
Right.
Sign stealing is cheating.
Okay.
But it's also, you can't find a better way to, you know, tell a pitcher what pitch you want.
Well, now they're saying that they think some people wore electronic devices.
Well, I saw an article on that earlier today.
They don't know for sure.
They said that they haven't found anything to make that.
Right. Certain sign gets called, they see it, they bust your arm, you know, hey, it's going to be a slider.
This is,
I don't know for sure.
This is, hey, put the camera feed in the dugout and we're going to bang a trash can to let you know what type of pitch is coming. Yeah. But sign stealing has been something that's happened ever since baseball. Because it's kind of archaic and, you know, Neanderthalish, I guess you could say, if that's even a word, to put your hand between your legs and signal. You know, obviously the guy on second base, if there's a guy there, can see what you're signing and figure out what the pitches are. And
see, that's my point. Sign stealing is part of the game, to me.
But not doing it with technology.
Thank you. If you're on second and you can steal a sign and tip me, that's baseball.
Yeah.
That's the game. That's part of it.
I don't think that's cheating. That's no different than a linebacker hearing an audible.
Yes.
And making an audible himself to put his defense in a better position.
Right. I don't have a problem if you're on second or, I don't know, you probably ain't going to see it at first, or you might be able to see it at third, I doubt it. But if you're on second and you can pick up a sign and tip your hat to me, it's like, hey, man, listen, this ball is going to be a fastball on the outside. That's fine. That's part of the game. That's been going on for who knows how long.
Years. Probably since the start.
Yeah, and that's part of the game. But when you go to stealing signs as far as
putting cameras up,
what the Patriots did, filming practice, that is taking it to another limit, and that's
cheating. That's where I tip my hat to the Major League Baseball and punishing people. Now, I don't think they should be, like, banned for life or anything like that.
No.
But I tip my hat to them for punishing and people losing their job, because the NFL didn't do anything to the Patriots for any of their scandals other than, you know, maybe fining them some money here and there.
Well, Tommy had to sit out some games one time.
Yeah.
Over the flight gate.
But, I mean, come on.
But that was cold air, man.
It's a slap on the wrist. But I've got a solution. Okay.
What are you going to do, put something on
it's the same thing that they do in college. The catcher has an armband.
Yeah.
The pitcher has an armband.
Yeah.
So you signal, hey, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Pitcher looks at his wristband. Okay, 1, fastball, 2, high, 3, outside. Okay, so I'm going to throw a fastball high and outside. And then you do that. After the inning's over, you switch your armband.
Well, why can't we just give the catcher a microphone and the pitcher a speaker an earbud.
Well, hell.
And let him call the pitch, and then it cuts off like it does in the NFL. Why can't we just do that?
Because the batter's going to hear the catcher talking.
You don't know that. He can talk quietly. I mean, you know, first thing, give me a fastball to the outside. He didn't hear that, bud. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the problem with the armbands is you got to make sure your pitcher and your catcher got the same armband for what inning they've got.
And again, you know, I don't know, man. Shouldn't they take the World Series away from the Astros?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
If they were sign stealing by traditional methods, no. Like you said, it's part of the game.
It is part of the game.
But that right there is cheating.
Yeah.
You're taping the signs and decoding them.
Yeah.
And then signaling to the batter so he expects a fastball coming. Mm-hmm. And you can do that for every pitch now because you've got the code.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cheating.
You know, and I'll be honest with you. I don't remember who it was. Gosh dang. Anyway, he made a good point. He said, I'd rather pitch to somebody on steroids than pitch to somebody that knows what's coming.
Yeah.
Because I understand steroids are a performance-enhancing drug, whatever. You and me can take the same amount of steroids that Jose Canseco, Mark McGwire, or anybody else took. We still ain't going to hit that ball. Yeah. It ain't happening, man. I ain't hitting a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. Ain't no way in this world.
But here's the thing.
You know what? Steroids don't make you hit the ball. Steroids
still has the
stigma.
The mystery. Well, no, the steroid still has the mystery of what the pitch is coming. Just because you shoot up, you're not able to tell if it's a fastball.
And it don't help you put the bat on the ball.
Yeah.
That's hand-eye coordination.
Yeah.
Now, it might make you go a little further.
Yeah, when you get make the contact.
Yeah, but it still ain't like it's my point exactly. You and me can take the same amount of steroids as whoever. We're still not hitting a 96-mile-an-hour slider. It ain't happening.
But see, that's the point of.
But if you know what's coming.
Yeah.
And you know if it's off speed, you can jack it all day.
That's the thing, because
bro.
That's why off speed pitches work so well. Yep. Is because basically baseball, you're guessing.
Yeah, in a sense, yeah.
I mean, because the difference between a fastball and a changeup, it might not be that much on the gun.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge difference.
But it's a huge difference in your timing.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to kind of guess as soon as he winds up what's coming.
Right.
And if you've got it predetermined that it's a fastball, you're going to get into your swing way faster than you would an off-speed pitch. So that's why you swing too early.
Exactly.
That's why an off-speed pitch works so well. But if somebody signals and tells you it's an off-speed, then you know you need to lay back.
Right.
And it puts you at a huge advantage.
Right. And then if I get on second, but now with the technology doing it, it's wrong. But again, if I'm on second and I can pick up and say, hey, look, man, they're getting ready. You know, if I can show you somehow let you know an off-speed pitch is coming, that's fine. You shouldn't have let me got on second.
That's one batter in the game that got tipped off. You do it the other way, every batter gets tipped off.
Yeah,
and that's not right.
Right. If I'm on second, that's your fault for letting me get that far.
Yeah, exactly.
That's your disadvantage now. That's my advantage. I earned that advantage. Because I got there. I didn't earn that advantage filming stuff.
Here's the thing. Here's also the thing. Yeah, they steal signs when they're on second base.
Yeah.
But you're going to have more than one. He's not going to decode that.
Oh, no.
In one trip to second base.
Right. I understand.
Yeah.
But sign stealing's always went on.
Yeah.
And
that part of it.
The archaic Neanderthalic way, like you said it, or Neanderthalish way that you said it, is fine with me. Using technology is not.
Yeah.
It ruins baseball. And how do you feel about the juice baseballs? How they, you know, all the home runs that's been hit here lately.
Are they proven to be juiced?
Well, yeah, they changed them a little bit because they wanted more runs scored.
And, you know what?
Baseball can be very boring at times.
It can be. But the people that love baseball are okay with that.
Yes.
Or else they wouldn't watch it.
Right.
What they're trying to do is they're trying to boost and get new people or people that quit watching it to get back into it.
Right.
Because, like you said, they're trying to boost the runs up, same way they did in the NFL when they put all these rules in place to put defensive players at a disadvantage so that the offense would score more points because they felt like people were going away because they're like, oh, this is boring. Nobody wants to watch a 13-10 game. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's why they're juicing the baseballs. They want to – oh man, there's been more home runs hit than any other year in baseball history.
Right.
And so now everybody's like, oh, maybe baseball's actually exciting. I can't wait to go watch people hit home runs. That's exactly what it is. It's a ploy in the end to make more money.
And is that what it all is anyway? It's a business.
Yeah, it is.
In a sense.
But when we went to the Braves game, it hardly wasn't anybody there. It is amazing how baseball is able to maintain, because their games are on like 1 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, but they play so many.
But that's my point. They've got to open up the stadium even more than a normal other, like a team from another, other than maybe NBA.
Yeah, but you don't really see the empty NBA stadium field or stadium.
Well, yeah.
Stadium much. You don't see that much.
True. But their games are later on. People are off of work. But baseball, you know, you're going to catch like a 3 o'clock game on a Wednesday?
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They're not selling as many tickets.
Right.
I just don't understand how they can keep going.
I don't know. And that stadium in Atlanta's huge.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know what you're saying. And especially the money that baseball players make now.
Yeah,
how are they
affording this, man?
I don't know. It's TV contracts and advertisements and all those things.
Yeah, I don't get it. I would love to see their books to see how
much
money's coming in
to
be able to afford all this. Because, like you said, the contracts for the players are ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
The stadiums are nice.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a quarter of the way empty on most of these games.
Yeah.
Even for a good team.
I agree.
Like you catch a Yankees game on TV, if they're playing it like I said, 3 o'clock on a Wednesday, there's not that many people there.
No. You're right.
Now the weekend games, maybe they make up for it because more people will be able to go. They don't have to work. Well, most people don't have to work if they got a typical 9-to-5 job. And maybe they just make that much money if their team makes the playoffs that it
ain't no way.
I don't get it.
Ain't no way.
I don't understand. Like I'm not an accountant and I'm not a businessman.
But the money don't make sense to me.
No.
The outflow does not match the inflow.
No.
Not to me. But we need to wrap up again. How long have we been rambling?
51 minutes.
Yeah, we're good.